Up next, basement toilet installs and dryer cleaning.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast. And Brian, you know, a lot of people want to install toilets in their basement or in the lower level of their house if they have a split level. And we got a question about that this week. It's a common problem, a common dilemma. You know, how do you do it? What are your options? How much is it going to cost? And we'll address some of those questions in our podcast today. And speaking of toilets, Brian, I was just replacing an important part of a toilet this week, the fill valve. And I noticed that one of my favorite fill valve manufacturers is doing something nifty, and we'll talk about that. And we also got a question about dryer vents. Actually, we didn't get a question, but we want to address that topic today because it's an important one. If you don't clean your dryer vent and you have a long one, you could be at risk of a house fire.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about that up next in the Handy Guys, but first let's hand out our contact information.
Okay, you can always call us at area code 615-676-0877 or go to our website and fill out the contact form, www.handyguyspodcast.com.
It's time for listener questions with the Handy Guys.
I want to address a question we got from one of our listeners. Her name is Julianne. Thank you, Julianne, for the question. She says that, hi, I'm considering purchasing a bi-level home. When you walk in the door, you have the choice of going upstairs where there's a kitchen, a bathroom, and two bedrooms, or you can go downstairs, which is partially underground, and it has a living room, a laundry room, and two bedrooms. My question is, the downstairs portion does not have a bathroom. The only bathroom in the home is upstairs. Is it possible to add a bathroom to the downstairs portion of a bi-level home, or is this impossible since it is underground and you would have to find a way to flush the sewage upward? And so
she didn't write that, did she?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
And no, you can't. She's correct. She's very astute. You cannot flush the sewage upward, at least using gravity.
You know, in the town we grew up in, Paul, for our listeners, we grew up in the same town. There's a lot of those kind of homes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had lots of friends with those kind of homes. And
Although a lot of them did have bathrooms, they were installed with bathrooms on that floor,
sure,
especially if there's bedrooms. So this is an interesting setup.
Yeah, it might have been, you know, just like a rec room, and then they divided it up and put a couple of bedrooms down there,
right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So you know, the short answer to Julianne's question, and I emailed her this, was that yes, you can put in a bathroom. Yeah,
that's the short answer. Sure. How hard it is the other part of the answer.
Yeah, that's another story. So, we can talk about that. I mean, there's a lot. There could be a lot involved. Most likely, there is. It could get expensive for sure.
Right. You would want to know where the main line drain is in relationship to where you want to put the bathroom in.
Absolutely.
So is it underneath the slab in that lower level, or does the sewage eject out somewhere up higher?
Right. She assumed that you'd have to flush up. Possibly the main sewer pipe comes in already below grade.
That's right.
Or below the floor of the lower level.
That's right.
And that's assuming you have city water. Perhaps there's a septic system, which is already, maybe there's a pump already in place to pump it out, depending on if the septic system's downhill or uphill, or if it's downhill, you know.
Right.
We just need to know more about that.
Sure. So, you know, in an ideal circumstance, you've already got that pipe. It's under the ground and it's right near where you want to put that bathroom,
right?
So that you can have gravity do its job and move the waste to that pipe and out it goes.
Right. So hopefully the sewer pipe is not on the front of the house and you want to put the bathroom on the back of the house, and then you have to dig up the whole basement floor to run the pipe, you know, under the floor all the way across. Hopefully you can identify not only where what level it's at, but where it is, and hopefully you can get the bathroom and the toilet and the whatever else you put in there, the sink, near that.
Right. And pipe. If this is a house in a development, even an older development, where there's, you know, 100, 200 houses, similar construction done by the same builder, the layout of those pipes is going to be pretty common. So, you know, an old-timer plumber guy who works in that area is going to probably be able to assess it pretty quickly and know where those pipes are.
Yeah, I recommended to Julianne that she gets one or two plumbers in there, maybe just one, because like you said, if it's someone familiar with those homes, he's going to be able to tell you right off the bat. Maybe they don't even need to come into your home. They're going to be, you're going to tell them what house you're talking about if you call a local plumber, and they're going to tell you, okay, here's what you're dealing with. It just depends on the neighborhood and how common the house model is.
But. And I don't know what the difference is from houses built in the 40s and 50s versus the ones they build today. It seems most new construction houses, the sewer lines exit the basement, if you have a basement, somewhere in the middle of the wall, not under the slab, versus, you know, in the old days, it was down deep.
It was down deep, and sometimes they even put in the rough plumbing for a future toilet.
Right.
You know, they would actually have the pipes already in the basement slab.
Right.
So, but it doesn't sound like that. Well, we don't know. But yeah, certainly you want to look into all of those issues, because if you can get the bathroom near the sewer pipe, then certainly you can put one in. And even if the sewer pipe is above the floor level, it is an option. You can do it. And if you get into that, you're in. If you have to pump it up, then there are a couple ways you can do that.
Sure. What the probably the most robust way, and the most common way is to put what they call an ejector pit in.
Yeah.
And that's where that's kind of like a sump pump, but it's made for solid waste as well. And essentially, it's a pit that's dug and it's lined, and there's a pump that goes in there, and then all your drain lines run to that.
Right.
And then that pumps then into your sewer line, wherever that is. And there's some venting and so forth that the plumber will do as well.
Right. So, you know, you have to cut into the slab, assuming there's a concrete slab on this bottom floor. You'll have to cut, usually, depending if you're putting in a shower or not, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, a couple of foot, 2 feet wide, say. This is for the actual plumbing, because you got to cut into the slab both for the pit and for the plumbing. You're going to look at like a 2 foot wide by 4 feet long area for your plumbing, or even more, maybe 6 or 8 feet long, depending if you're putting in a shower.
How big the bathroom is,
then you got to cut a neighboring area out for the pit, which is a big canister you put in there, basin, similar to what you put in for sump pumps if you have water issues. And so you're going to have to map that all out. And that's really the messy part, because you got to, you know, if this is all a finished area, you got to find a way to hopefully seal off the rest of the bedrooms and other areas, because you're going to be cutting in probably with a wet saw.
Right.
And it can be, it's really dusty. And then you got to haul the concrete out, which is heavy, and you may need a wheelbarrow, or you need,
You're going to have to do that whether you're putting in that pit or not.
Exactly. I mean,
because you're going to need to get those pipes in, you know, for the shower and so forth down, you know, under that slab.
Well, the other option, though, doesn't require cutting into slab.
And yeah, let's talk about that option.
Okay, so the one that you just mentioned is probably the most common and would be what I would aim for, because it allows you to put in a large pit. It doesn't. The pump doesn't have to go on all the time. It's a sealed pit. It only goes on when it's full, and it can handle, you know, multiple devices, a sink, a toilet, and a shower. The other option is one of these above ground pumps that goes right behind the toilet, and you have to use a proprietary toilet, a special toilet, which actually the waste does not go through the bottom, but
it
through
goes
the
out
back.
The back, right.
And it would go right in to this pump, or you could have a pipe maybe a couple feet behind the toilet if you could set it up that way. And then if you want to add a sink, you can also drain that into this container, which is now sitting behind your toilet. And Santa Flush is one of the company that makes it. And you can, I believe, also run a shower to it, but then you got to make the shower at a higher level. You got to build a little platform for it so that you can run the shower pipes below it.
So it's really
over.
Best suited for a powder room kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But you mentioned, what was her name again, Paul?
Julianne.
She mentioned she's got a couple of bedrooms on that lower level.
Yeah.
So the advantage of a bathroom is so that those people, when they're getting their shower or whatever, don't need to go upstairs. So sounds like a shower is in order for Julianne. And probably doing it the traditional way of putting that pit in is going to be best for her.
Absolutely, because you may have, with the Santa Flush system, you have exposed pipes unless you find a way to put it behind a wall, you know, have the pipe run out the toilet and through a wall and then put it, you know, have some sort of unfinished space behind it or a closet. And it's hard to, or you can build a little kind of a ground level soffit to cover the pipes.
Right.
It gets kind of hairy. Besides that, the container is not really large, so it's pumping a lot. And I just don't like that solution, except for maybe, like you said, just a small powder room that doesn't get used that often.
Right.
So, and the other issue, you know, you have, Julianne, is venting. You got to find a way to vent these devices. You can't necessarily just run it right to the main stack. I think it's supposed to go above other devices at the higher level where it connects to the main, has to connect to the main stack above the other devices, assuming your main vent stack is large enough for all the devices in the house. Otherwise, you're going to run a new vent. And I recommend it that she talk to a plumber because he can look at all that and and in no time at all tell her exactly what she's looking at. I also recommended a book. Black & Decker has a book on their complete plumbing book, and we'll put a link to that on
That's a good book.
Website. It has pictures and good explanations, and you can see all this. They even have a sample in there of putting in a basement bathroom where they cut into the slab and show you how it's done.
Yep.
So, and one of the things you can do is work with your plumber. Maybe if you want to do this and it's going to be pricey, you can volunteer to do some of the work. Have them map out where in the slab it's going to need to be cut, and perhaps you and a friend or something can do that work over a weekend.
Yeah, just get a sledgehammer out and start busting on the concrete, right?
All right, well, that's it. That's for toilets. But coming up next, I want to talk about something new in toiletry that I discovered this past week.
All right, let's hear it.
Want great deals on tools that the handy guys recommend? Click on the Our Store button at www.handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, I had a problem with my toilet this past week where it was not turning off. When it would fill the tank in the back, you would flush and would continue running. Fortunately, the water would go in the overflow tube and it would not overflow the tank.
Now, what's the normal fix for that, Paul, is to adjust the float.
Yes.
Right? Because the float's not shutting the water off before it reaches that overflow
valve. That could be the fix. However, it wasn't an issue with the float. The float was coming all the way up. The valve still wasn't shutting, the fill valve. One solution sometimes is just replace the little
the washer.
Gasket or washer that you can get. Although Fluid Master, which is the company I often use for these parts, sometimes doesn't recommend that. They'd rather see you replace the whole part. I don't know if it's because they're trying to sell one or because, you know, there could be some other parts that are messed up and it's not that expensive. You know, $15, you can replace the whole fill valve. So in my case, it was not a Fluid Master device. It was a part that was a little older that came with the house and I've never been real happy with. So I decided to go ahead and fill it with a part I'm more familiar with so that if I have future problems, I know exactly how to fix them and resolve them.
Okay.
This one, I couldn't even easily get to the washer. I mean, you could see it under there, but you had to take more things apart. It was a real pain. And that's why I decided to replace the whole thing. So I went to my local home center. I picked up for around roughly $15 a whole fill valve assembly, a Fluid Master. And if you go to fluidmaster.com, you'll see it. You know, they show a picture of a toilet right on the main site. You can click on the fill valve and they show you the assembly, a large view of it. And I noticed right off the bat that there was something different than the previous Fluid Master fill valves, which I've used before, and I've probably installed, you know, maybe a half dozen of these in various toilets in, you know, the last 5 or 10 years.
Okay.
In my old house, new house, and
so what's
others.
Different about this one versus all the other ones that we've put in?
The main difference, and actually the nice thing is most of it is exactly the same. They haven't changed this thing in years, which is nice. So you're looking at it, it's the same one that I've seen 10 years ago. But they've added a feature. And the feature is that normally when you hold down the handle on your toilet, there's a little chain that pulls the stop valve at the bottom.
Valve,
you call
right.
it the flapper, the stop valve. The flapper valve. It pulls that up and allows the water to release through the top of the tank.
And that's not part of the fill valve.
That's right. It allows the water to go down into the bowl. And as a result, there's a a float, which goes down with the water level, and that float is attached to your fill valve, and that tells the fill valve, hey, the tank is now empty. I need to turn the
water on. Right.
And it turns the water on automatically. It's your automatic switch. Okay, that is all the same. However, they've added an additional feature, and that is an additional chain to the same handle lever. So when you hit the handle on your toilet, not only do you pull the flapper valve, but you pull a little lever at the bottom of the float, which allows the float to go down.
So it's somehow holding the float
It's a little on-off switch, and if the chain doesn't pull it, the float will not go down, and the water will not fill the tank. So why do you think you need that?
Okay,
Brian?
So why do you need that? That's interesting. So that if you have a leaky flapper, right? So and your flapper's causing the water to drain out of your tank,
right?
It's not going to cause your water bill to go up because it's not going to refill the tank until you actually hit that lever.
Right. So what'll happen is if you have a leaky flapper, you're going to go in and you're going to try to flush,
Not going to flush.
Well, you're going to hear the water, you know, the sound noise that it makes of refilling the tank, but there isn't going to be any, your bathroom isn't going to go out the bottom of the bowl.
Right. You got to wait then for it to fill up the tank, and then you can.
You'll know you have a problem. I thought it was very interesting. At first, though, I was a little concerned that, you know, this extra feature would have some sort of unintended consequence, like it would be flaky or it wouldn't work, it would be hard to connect. And actually, it wasn't too bad because you need to make sure the chain is the right length, but it's just a simple on-off. And at first, I think I made it a little too tight and it made the handle not quite work right, but a simple, quick fix and adjustment to it, and it worked fine, and it's been working fine ever since. So
That's interesting.
If it does work and continues to work without any, you know, failures because it's an additional part, I'll be very happy. That's a nice way to fix that problem where you suddenly get, you know, have an additional $100 water bill or something. And in fact, I'm hearing stories about how in some places in the country, water's getting extremely expensive. It could be a very, you know,
yeah, because often people don't know they have a leak. You know, it's such a slow leak.
Exactly.
And or they're just not aware of it. Or, you know what, that toilet's been running for, you know, the past 5 years and, you know, they just don't even hear it anymore.
Exactly.
Come on, in the middle of the night or whatever. So that's a very, very interesting feature.
Yeah, so check it out, fluidmaster.com. They didn't pay for this or anything. They're not a sponsor. But I thought it was a clever little, engineering trick. Sure. To the standard old, everything else about that fill valve, as far as I can tell, is exactly the same as it's always been. They just added one additional part. All right, there you have it. Up next, we're going to talk about one other important part of your house, and that is your dryer vent.
Okay.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Brian, I want to tell you about a dangerous part of the home that some of us probably haven't given a lot of consideration to.
What's that, Paul?
That is your vent for your dryer. Did you know that can be a dangerous part of your home?
I have heard that it can be, yes.
Well, according to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, they estimate that in 1998, that was like a long time ago, last century.
Right.
But they were still using dryers. In 1998, closed dryers were associated with over 15,000 fires, which resulted in 20 deaths and 370 injuries. And fires can occur when the lint builds up in the dryer or in the exhaust duct. Lint can block the flow of air, cause excessive heat buildup, and result in a fire in some dryers. Not only that, but it can make your dryer run inefficiently and raise your electric bills. And also,
Your gas bills, depending if you're gas or electric. Right.
And if your clothes aren't getting dry, then you're just going to run it more often. And so, again, it's not efficient. So what is a solution to this? Well, Brian, I was walking around my house a couple months ago doing my spring inspection.
Right.
Because we recommended it on our podcast, I thought I should do this. And as I was going around looking for cracks and issues, and I did notice some areas, some gaps in my foundation where, you know, between that and my ledger board and stuff like that where I could fill, I realized, I have my dryer vent that goes out the back of my house.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is interesting because it runs from the front of my house to the back and goes out the back. It's a good 15, 20 feet long.
No, it's a bit longer than that.
No, it's about 20 feet long.
20 feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually the middle of my house. And I looked at it and I thought, you know what? That's interesting. I probably need to clean that out. So I got a flashlight, looked down the pipe, and saw lots of stuff all along the pipe the whole way. thought, that's interesting. I should probably clean this, and we should probably add this to our spring inspection checklist.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll add it next year, but I thought, I need to clean this, and it's a long pipe. How do I clean a long, 15, 20-foot run of smooth ductwork? And, how should I do that?
Call one of those duct cleaning pros. I'm sure they'd do it.
Absolutely. I'm sure I can find someone that'd be happy to charge me a fair amount of money to do it, or I could do it myself. And not only the vent there, but just the smaller duct that runs from the dryer to the vent itself in the laundry room. Some people have shorter runs, maybe 10 yeah. feet, 5 feet.
Yeah, mine's
all
real
those
short. Yeah.
Can get dirty. And but if you can, you can go to your home center and buy just a brush to clean out a 5 foot run that you just right. jam in there and push the stuff through. Or if you have a longer run, that's not really an option because you need to be able to get down past 5-10 feet.
Sure.
So I did some research. I purchased a product, and I'm here to review it.
All right.
It is called the Lint Eater Rotary Dryer Vent Cleaning System.
Okay.
And it is a nice system. You can find it on Amazon. We'll post it on our website. And it comes with 12 feet of a flexible, I assume it's fiberglass tubing that you connect to your cordless drill that has a brush at the end, and it allows you to, in 4 foot lengths, connect it to your drill, run the brush into your tube, connect another 4 foot length, and continue on until you've gone up to 12 feet, and you can buy an additional runs if you desire to. You can buy additional lengths of tubing.
Maybe you could probably come in from both sides,
exactly.
with a 12 foot one and get 24
Absolutely.
Foot, right?
And what's really nice about this kit is they also provide an attachment to connect your shop vac up to the opposite end.
Right, so that as you're brushing all that stuff off the inside, yep. it's got a place to go.
And it sucks it all right out. It is a nice system. I really like it. It comes with a little DVD, kind of shows you how it works.
A DVD to explain
yes,
how that works?
You just stick it in your computer, a little video.
Okay.
It's not much. But the key is, I highly recommend this product, but I also highly recommend that you actually read the instructions.
Why is that, Paul?
Well,
I never read the instructions.
I often don't either, and I almost made a potentially catastrophic mistake.
Okay. What was that?
So I'm feeding the 4 foot lengths. I'm cleaning out my vent from the outside. You can do it kind of from either end, but
right.
It was easiest for me to do it from the outside. I connected my shop back to the other
end.
Did
you have to take off the cover?
Yeah. Well, of my dryer.
Don't you have a little flapper?
A little flapper vent, and I took the flaps off. They each individually come off. There's four of them, and unfortunately, I lost two, so I got another issue. But that's another story. But anyway, I took them off, and I started running the 4 foot length in, then the 8 feet, then the 12 feet, and it all worked fine, no problem. Okay, each one screws into the next.
Okay,
great, working fine. Well, I'm a creature of habit, Brian. So what Uh-oh. Do you do when you're using a drill and you're screwing something in when you want to remove it?
You put the drill in reverse.
Exactly. So I flipped with my thumb without even thinking and started reversing it. Well, that was dumb because it just unscrewed the long tube and I removed a 4 foot length. And as soon as I did it, I realized what I had done and I may have said a bad word.
So now you got this thing like in the middle of your house,
right,
above your finished ceiling in your basement.
Exactly. There's no way to access a tube. It's above a drywall finished basement. And below the floor of the first floor of the house. So I hesitated and I'm like, oh boy. Now, they also provide another little tool which you can stick on the end of this that helps you to remove things that are in the way. Like, for instance, maybe the brush comes off the end of it. You can run this thing through and it actually helps you pull it back out. But in this case, I also had the brush and the tubes in there. And fortunately, when I pulled out what had unscrewed, only one length of 4 foot tube came out. It was the first length that came unscrewed.
Okay.
That was good because that meant that only about roughly 3 to 4 feet in was where it had disconnected. So I was able to get a flashlight and just put it in there 3 feet and get it lined up and screw it back in. The key is when you pull this thing out, you want to keep the drill running the same direction.
In the forward direction.
Clockwise,
and
forward.
The directions remind you not to do this.
The directions do say don't reverse your drill, which I hadn't read, but even like I said, I'm such a creature of habit, I may have done it anyway. So be careful. Do not reverse your drill.
Okay.
This product works well.
How does it handle turns?
It handles it. They're really flexible tubes that you put in there. They can bend a lot. So,
okay, because my dryer vent goes sideways, and then it makes a 90-degree turn into the basement, and then it makes another 90-degree turn out to the outside of the house. So I've got two or three 90-degree turns.
Well, I'm holding the box here, and they kind of show you how it works with bends. It definitely handles bends. Read the instructions. There may be some warnings about if you have too many, what to avoid. But certainly it can handle it. You can see the tube, how flexible it is, and they are very flexible. In fact, you want to make sure when you connect your drill to the next length that you don't do it too far outside of the entrance to your tube, or else the whole thing starts flapping around. You kind of need to drill in and get it kind of far and then start the next length, and you have to be really careful or else the thing's flapping around. So it's a great system. I like it. I would be concerned, you know, if you had a really long length and the thing just broke. How you're going to get it out. You know, you'll find some horror stories if you really look for it on Amazon, but most people seem to really like it. It worked great for me. Not only that, Brian, in the shop vac, when I went, I just left it running. I went, did the job. I fixed my little problem with the tube disconnecting. I pulled it out. I went to the other end to the laundry room and turned my shop vac off and looked. I looked inside, and it was full of this humongous chunk of this big gob of lint. It was all stuck to the filter. And it was amazing. The thing was running really loud because it was all clogging the filter. And it was, you know, I felt pretty good about it. I'll probably run it through every year or two.
Okay. So you think on my short run, it's only probably maybe 5 foot of pipe, but it's really flexible.
Absolutely. So. It'll work in the corrugated stuff, and go ahead and try it. But, you know, make sure if you have a dryer vent, you know, don't use the plastic stuff. Try to use smooth venting material as much as possible, and then you won't have as much get clogged up there.
Right.
Clean your dryer vent after each session, the filter, the lint filter.
Lint trap.
Yeah, those are all important to running it efficiently and preventing house fires.
Okay, very good.
So, all right, well, that's all we have for this week. Hopefully, we've provided some good information. We'll be back next week with actually a show about a dishwasher. My lowly dishwasher that's finally getting some attention. It's been on my honey-do list for quite a while.
Okay.
And hopefully I can provide some tips on how to fix a dishwasher that's not cleaning very well.
All right.
All right. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.